Thank you for having Kelly and I in your midst and being a part of your lives for 2 or 3 days and having the freedom and the privilege of sharing God's word with you and just releasing a little of what we carry and what we have experienced. Born and raised in Zim. And just came across the power of God, knowing Him as a religious experience in an Anglican church, living next to one from the age of 4 up to the time I left school, and so I knew a lot about church and what goes on in it and the Anglican context. But it didn't help much, because you know about Him, you need to know Him. He's not a history lesson; He's a reality because He lives today. And so, in the military, bullet through my legs in a war zone. Cried out to God, literally cried out to Him. Fulfilled the promise, which I never knew. It says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did that, God answered in prayer in the middle of a war zone. And that impressed me, because He answered in mercy, not in judgment. And I was not in a church, I was in the war zone, bleeding. And so God answers prayers in the most extreme conditions. He's not moved by what's going on earth. What He's moved by is the cry of a man or a woman who are really desperate to know Him. And in my case, I was on the point of trouble, having been near church all my life, but I was still scared of where I was going to go should I die. It elicited out of my heart saying, oh God, if You want my life. And He answered in prayer in an unusual way, which captured me, which changed me completely, until I understood when someone said that scripture, when you call on Him, He answers. And actually, He doesn't want your life. He's given it back to you, so what are you going to do with it? That was the change. And so it was a simple answer for me. I'll serve Him, go anywhere, say anything that He wants to, not what I want to. And that's my life. And so it has been Kelly's and mine for many years, about 40 years, hey? 40, yeah? And so we have experienced much, seen much, and done much. But this revelation of His mercy, which you get what you don't deserve, and He gives you more than you expect, it causes a result of faith from the heart of man. God's mercy elicits or allows one thing to come out of you. If He gives you what you don't deserve, you can trust Him. And that thing's called faith. It's called many things. But when you trust Him, you can take what He says as being right every time. There's no need to question it, because He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so truly, His word is true. And so when that happened, I thought, as a soldier then, as having experienced this thing, healed both legs, there's no problem. A good chunk of muscle was ripped out of here when the bullet went through, 28 stitches in this left knee, hole through my thigh. I don't know if it hit the femoral artery. I'll have to watch the Blu-ray DVD up in heaven or whatever. They have now holograms. I don't know if that's going backwards, but it's not about that. It's about the fact that He showed up. And I was protected, was able to go through it. And here's the other thing. I went back into the military and went through the pain and the suffering and the trigger points, the trigger switches that remind you of the past. So this thing called recall, yeah, I had that, but I went through it. Because if you don't go through it, you will never get on. And so I learned from that the other side, the flip side of the great experience with God, but also the other side of me coming back in and being healed emotionally deep down inside. I call it a message I have called Leaving Woundedville. Because a lot of people hang around Woundedville and they don't want to move on from their experience, because they think their experience justifies why they can never be a success. So you live your life, as we shared the other day, you live your life looking in the rear view mirror while you're going down the highway. Guess what? You never get to where you're going to go, because you're always looking in the past to justify your future. And so I learned not to just look at the past. Whatever's happened, whatever negative stuff happened, anything from birth to now, it can change when you confess His word over your life. There's life and death in the power of your tongue. Forked tongue, speak life, choose one way. Satan came with a forked tongue. He came with two fangs. And what Satan, the snake, gives you, he doesn't kill you. What he gives you kills you. It's called venom. One is sin, the other one is sickness. Two fangs. Jesus came. He destroyed the power of sin of death so that you can have eternal life. He destroyed the work of sickness because he took it. So you can walk in eternal life and you can walk in healing. And that's the gospel of the message. He destroyed the power of the devil. He detoothed him, defanged him, debagged him, no more venom. And he's going around like a toothless lion trying to, and those who don't believe, of course, they fall into it. They just don't understand. And that's why this gospel is bringing us back to God, which nullifies the thing, the Garden of Eden syndrome, which says, did God say? Yes, God says. Yes, God says. That's church. That's the message of the gospel. And if you want to get with the eternity program, you follow Jesus out of the word of God. This is true. Amen? So if you're not saved today, you need to be. Saved from what? The judgment and the wrath of God of those who do not believe his word. Sin is unbelief. Notice the Lamb came to take away the sin, singular, of the world. What is the sin of the whole world? Unbelief in the word of God. Garden of Eden. Did God say? Did God say? And when you don't take what God said, it's called sin. You're walking away from him. He wants you to believe everything he said. Even in a war zone, bleeding to death with war, killing. Guys dying around you, vaporized blood, you know, we were pink because of the death rate, yet you cry out in that situation. Most people say, ah, that's not church. No, of course it wasn't church. But he's more interested in your heart than what you're in. When he gets your heart, he gets you. Going to church doesn't justify your heart. He wants your heart. And he doesn't care where you go, he wants your heart. Get right with God, okay? So we're going to Luke 13. Luke 13:10, it's a healing on the Sabbath day. And of course, Jesus, if you want to see an interesting thing, he went and picked fights on the Sabbath. Because in those days, you're not supposed to do anything. You're supposed to do nothing. You're supposed to be rest. But today is the Sabbath. Every day of the week is the Sabbath because we are in his rest and we can do everything. That's why Jesus went and healed people and did things and changed the vision of life. And so we're picking on something here about a woman. Is this okay? It's not echoing too much? You're right. Cool. It's a thing around faith, and I just want to highlight that and give you some heavyweight one-line sentences to help you understand faith. But let's get the program here. It's Luke 13, verse 10. He was teaching one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up. So here we have a situation in a church, woman bent over, caused by a spirit. Now, not every sickness is disease. Not every sickness is caused by Satan. Not every sickness is caused by sin. John 9 says, Lord, this man born blind, is it because his parents sinned or because he sinned? Born blind means he sinned in his mother's womb. Actually, it's an impossibility. But actually, it was talking about Eastern culture, which means reincarnation. So was he in a previous life that caused him to come into this life, born blind? So it's Eastern culture. Of westernized people, we just think, what the heck is he saying there? But actually, when you go to India and you see that, when they cars go down the highway and they swerve past a dead bird in the road, because that could be Uncle Bill there. You know, you just don't know. And so you just go past, and that's how they live. And it goes, yeah, because of their belief. And so that's where that comes from. But is it because his parents sinned that he's born blind? Is that because what you're suffering now is because of your parents? And Jesus said neither, which is freeing. In other words, the reason why he's blind is not because of sin, because of parents, because of the past. So what is he saying? You're free, just believe. For the glory of God to be shown. So a lot of people suffer and in suffering because of the past, like we're saying, looking in the past. So just clear that. So verse 12, when Jesus saw her. So if you want to know how to heal people, and this is a little bit of putting weapons in your hands, the thing is, when Jesus saw her, the thing here is, how do you see people? And there's two ways to see people. From your perspective, and that can be also from a what you think church perspective should do, or from a heavenly perspective. The true way of seeing people is from a heavenly perspective. How does he see them? He sees them and he has one emotion called compassion, which causes divine love to go into action. That's compassion, divine love. Not your love, not your sympathy, but God's love. And he needs a vessel to flow through, which is you. When you see what he sees, then you can do what he does. So when you see people move to and you feel compassion from, guess what? God wants to, you're the channel that can change them. So when Jesus saw her, so he's not here, but he's in you, and you've got the eyes, and you're a part of his body. He's the head and we're the feet, and so we do and have the same compassion. So when we see people who are sick, we should be, you do something. What happens? He called her over, yes. So praying for the sick, ministering to people, you see them, moved with compassion, you call them over, or you go to them. In this case, he called her over because he wanted to know how she would respond to him. And it's interesting that it's important, any ministry, anything that Jesus wants to do with you, he wants to know how you will respond to him. And we do not take the fact that, well, I go to church. No, you can go to church all your life and get nothing. You come to church and he wants to minister to you, he wants to say things to you, he wants to touch you, he wants to whatever by the Spirit of God. He wants to know how you respond. That's why he says, hey, I see you, come. Now she's bent double and she's in the synagogue. And she's going to stand up, be a spectacle to everyone there, embarrassed by this thing, or maybe she's so used to it, or what's more, is she so desperate to be changed away from it. He called her over, that's number two. And he said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. I love that. Notice healing comes with a declaration. You are sealed. Pick up your mat and go. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And so he gives an instruction which causes you to respond in the way that the instruction tells you. So here, possessed by a demon spirit, Jesus is not worried about it. He says, woman, you are free. What happens? And he laid his hands on her. That's number four. So laying hands on the sick. So it's a declaration and a laying out of hands. So you say, well, how do I get people healed? Here you go. And so you speak to them, you lay hands on them. Next thing you did, and immediately she was made erect again and began to glorify God, not him, God. And so when we minister to people, when Jesus touched this person, it causes that person to worship vertically, not horizontally. And if you want a vertical manifestation, you make sure the vertical gets all the glory. And you represent him perfectly. And so when you get this right, they're going to turn around because they've got a correct vision of what's happened to them. If it's dependent upon you, it'll not last long. But if it depended on him, it means you've got it for life. Healing. Made direct. Verse 14. But the synagogue officials were indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath and began saying to the crowd in the response, there are 6 days in which work should be done. So come join them and get healed and not on the Sabbath. I want you to see that it's work. So this synagogue official categorized healing as work. No, surely it's worship. Isn't healing worship as part of what he does? It's who he is. And she glorified God. They got upset that this was happening. And so they said, no, this doesn't happen. So healing can happen 6 days of the week. But when we come to here, it's you obey the rules. And that very thing caused her to be bent double for 14 years because of their unbelief, 18, because of their unbelief and because of their misunderstanding of the power of God and what he wants to do. But the Lord answered him and said, you hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she was, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should not this have been released, there you go, captive, untie the captives, from the bond on the Sabbath day? So what is he saying? Hey, you guys, you do church, right? You do this. This is what happens. And so you do the service, but when everyone's in siesta time, Eastern culture, you go and sneak around the back and you untie your pet ox, your valued possession. And you sneak around and you run down and you let this thing drink water and you're watching. And then you go back and tie it up. And you hope no one's seen you. Now, that's work, isn't it? Oh, yeah, it is. But why do you do that? You do that every Sabbath. I've seen you. Jesus knew it. He said, how can you do this? Because here's a woman who's been bent over for so long in bondage. She's been tied up for 14 years, 18 years. Sorry, 18 is 38 and there's other years. There's 18 years because guys have been stuck there for 38 years in the Pool of Bethesda. Why? Because of the same reason. And Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And yet you untie your ox. And Jesus says this basically, hey, I've untied a human being. You've put animals above creation of me. They look like me. Human beings look like me. They're in the image of God. And you go and put an animal and you think they're more valuable than that. Your possessions are more important than your worship. You hypocrites. I mean, that's pretty powerful. He said this, and all his opponents were being humiliated. The entire crowd was rejoicing over the glorious things that had been done for him. I love that verse. And the whole crowd rejoiced over the way Jesus did things with excellence, is another Bible translation. So the people want the freedom, but sometimes when we do stuff, we get told, like these guys, messed up in it. Now, that thing about he's a daughter of Abraham. Why? Why Abraham? Abraham came before the law, before Moses and the Ten Commandments. He was there. The story that the angels came and visited Abraham, took him out and said, okay, you're 100 years old. You're not going to produce a son. Sarah, her womb is dried up. And you're not going to have a son. But God says you're going to have a son. In fact, look at the stars. Those are your descendants from you by faith. So Abraham says, okay, nothing's working here. Nothing's working there. So how's this thing going to happen? God says, I call those things that are not as if they are. That's the gospel message. Say, so I call things as not as if they are. So did John so-and-so get saved? How can he get saved? Do you know what he did and what he's done and da-da-da-da? How can that guy, who said he can get saved? God calls those things that are not as they are. See, he's a God changer. He's a man changer. He's a planet shaker. He gets our attention. So Abraham said, God, if you said so, then it's going to happen. And guess what? He had sons. First one he tried out for someone else, didn't work. And then he got the right one, Isaac. And then guess what happens from that? So he says, faith. And then so Romans comes with me to Romans 4. And here you have the reason why he said daughter of Abraham. Because this woman came in to worship and got by faith what she was believing for. You see, it's not about anything else. It's about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. First, you must believe that he exists. There you go. When tough things happen, people say, where's God in this? Where's God in this? I'm a Christian. I've been serving. Where's God in this? Chaos comes. Where's God in this? Yeah, you must still believe that he exists. In the chaos. First, you must believe that he exists. And he rewards those who keep on diligently pursuing, hunting him down and staying with him. He rewards you. So in chaos, things don't change. You don't say, where's God? That's what this means. Stay in faith. So when things go wrong, stay in faith. And so, let me just get to here. Verse 13. At Romans 4:13, for the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That's why he says he's the first guy from Genesis that believed my word and did my word. He says, that's it. That's what I want on earth. Because everyone else is listening to it, but not believing it and not doing it. Says, this man, on him, I'm going to set a precedent for even down to us Gentiles, because us Gentiles, we believe by faith. We're not a Jew. We don't have, well, I'm a Jew, don't you know? Here's my passport. See, I have a right. No, you don't. We cannot say that, but we have by faith. That's why Jesus, twice in the New Testament, he said, "Great is your faith," to two different people. And I love it. It's to a man and it was to a woman. And they were not Jews, but they pressed in. And when they got to the point of extreme faith, great faith, God gave them. Jesus gave them what they had. But he was actually ministering to the Gentiles and the Jews. And the Gentiles were a program later through Paul and in the book of Acts. But he responded to their faith. Why? Because he can't stop people with great faith coming in. That's the pathway because of this. And one was the centurion. The other one was the Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman. Both got deliverance of their daughter, slave healed. Both at a distance, not present, through their faith. That shows us that out of the distance, us Gentiles, distance from him, we're going to get by faith what is promised. That's why it's the daughter of Abraham. Don't you know this? She's here in faith, looking, responding to truth by faith, and yet you're not untying her, releasing her from this bond. You do it with your animals. And so healing is for every day of the week, any time of the day. For this reason, it is by faith, verse 16, in order that it may be accordance with grace that the promise will be God. You know, Abraham's name is faith, and Sarah's name means grace. By faith, through grace, there's Isaac. His name means joy. I love the prophetic. Let's go home. It's done. As it is written, now this is Romans, a father of many nations have I made you in the presence of him who believed, whom he believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Point number one, stop. Faith acts on the promise of God. You got a promise of God, there's your point of faith. He said it. He said, if you do this, I'll do that. Bang, you can say that's mine. We need to have faith on a promise. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Credit, given, freely given. You got it, Abram. Because of that, you freely got you what you wanted. Not for his sake, but only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions, he was raised up for our justification. It's just endorsing faith. So let me read the Message Bible, okay? We call Abraham father, not because he's God's attention, because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because made him something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as a father of many nations? Question mark. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do, raise the dead to life. With a word, making something out of nothing, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what he said he could, what God said he would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. It's by faith. So she responded by faith. All through the Bible, there's faith. We today are to respond by faith. So faith is a great thing. Let me give you some of these points that will help you. What you behold, you become. What you worship, you become like. You worship Satan, you're going to be like him. Foul language, no vision. You're going to go where he goes. But what you look at and what you love, you become like. Idols. Don't the teenagers dress like the idol? What they behold, they become. What you behold, you become. What we do is proof of what we possess. Abraham possessed the word and he did it. He got it. What we do is proof of what we possess. You raise the dead, you possess resurrection life. the proof of what we know is seen by what we do. Isn't that what Jesus did with the 12? If you see it and believe it, go and do what I do. You'll do the same. The proof of what we know, I know, that's proof, is seen by what we do. So what you know, it becomes visible. That's why the word of God is not just meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. It's not just taking in the word of God every Sunday. It's actually righteousness, faith righteousness, which leads to peace. In other words, victories in your life. And joy is an eternal, deep, more than emotion that'll take you through any problem. It was the joy of knowing what's on the other side of the cross, of the future, of the resurrection life, of knowing that he's going to be back with his dad. He's going to be ruling the world. He's going to have authority in heaven and hell. He's going to destroy what took out his power on his word by walking up to Satan, give me the keys of sin and death. Thank you. Then he went and preached to all those who did not hear the gospel up to the time of Noah before the flood. He preached to them. They believed the same gospel. He took them captive to heaven. And then he gave the church the Holy Spirit. So you have an anointing and a power that's there to perpetuate this kingdom, bringing heaven. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Thy will, what you want to happen, what your will is. We need to know what the will is. This is the will of the New Testament of a man who's risen from the dead. We enact that. We bring heaven back to earth. And that's what's going to happen at the end. But in the meantime, we are in the world and going through. So here, reading that, the proof of what we know is seen by what we do. Let me say this. It's a bit of a bombshell. I didn't plan on saying this. If we are not winning souls, then you haven't got it. If I asked you today, how many are going to come out this office? No, I won't. Okay, next one. One's faith cannot go beyond the revealed will of God. Your faith cannot go beyond what you know about God. You see, faith comes by revelation. That's why you need to have God revealed. It's not religion. It's not information. It's revelation. And when revelation comes, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The word of God has a voice that speaks to you. So it's different from any other word, religion, Islam, all these others. It hasn't got power. God's word has power. That's why you need to take it. The thing is, we need to believe it has got the power. Just say the word is going to happen. Yeah, that's my faith. That's my man. Centurion, bang, yeah, we can do this. Disciples, did you hear that? Believe like that. What are you doing? Come on. Yeah. Church dormant, church militants. Here's John 9:7. Guy's blind. Goes and puts mud in his eyes. Now he's even worse. What does Jesus say? Go wash in the pool of Siloam. Where's that, Lord? There, go. Now you can choose to say, no, I just saw. No, go and wash. You see, when you do what you know, you get what he has. And he came, went and washed. That's that fear factor thing. Does it really going to happen? Well, Abraham says, look at me, 100 years old. The waterworks just work, that's all. And her little bag's dried up. How's this going to happen? God says, have faith. Faith without works is dead, Abraham. Mm-hmm. Says, okay. Bingo. Hey, hallelujah. Come on. It's okay, Cal. We can talk about it in the car, right? So you can almost prophesy there's going to be babies in 9 months now. I'm just... Our message of faith will always be determined by the degree of revelation we have of it. Let me say it again. Our message of faith will always be determined by the degree of revelation we have of it. Your message of faith can be extremely hot degree or the amount degree of what you know. So when you have faith in your heart, you got something to say. No revelation or knowledge becomes ours until we obey it. See, we want God, we want you to do this, son, daughter. Will you obey what I say? Yes, Lord. He says, okay, I can trust you now. It's when we trust in God to do things and we don't do what he's already told us that we wonder why we never get what he says. Here's a hot tip for counseling. Person comes in for counseling, sits down. Pastor, please help me. Can you do this? Can you help me in this? Kier would say, what did God last say to you and when did he say it? 3 months ago, he told me to do this. Did you do it? No, go and do it. Then you'll hear God. Sorry about that one. Because you wouldn't do the same. Son, go and make your bed. Dad, I want an ice cream. Have you made your bed? No, no ice cream. Go make a bed, get the thing done, and let's move on. And that's Christianity. Okay? You were laughing just now. What happened? When revelation is given to man, it is his approval upon you. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. When he reveals stuff to you, when he opens this word to you and says, here, I know you've not seen this before and you've read this thing 1,000 times and I'm still reading this. I'm still a student. I'm still a son. I'm still learning. And Kelly and I both are seeing the scriptures unfold. And when he does, it says, I can trust you. I want to show you this because we are connected. Just like a little sit down around a table, a candle. And he says, hey, Sid, did you know that? I want to show you this. No one said, have you seen this? And you say, what? And I've read that scripture 40 times or 400 times. And you suddenly read it and you're like, wow. Why has that been hidden? You see, it's not a new message. It's the same message, but with greater amplification, great illumination. And so people who choose and run off and go and want to go and say, well, there's a new move of God over here. No, it's not a new move. He's been moving all the time. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today. So you've moved and you're chasing a false doctrine. No, come back to the heart of worship. Open the eyes of my heart. Those songs are so real. It's amazing grace. Keep zeroed in on the first love, amazing grace, and you won't go wrong. When revelation is given, it is approval upon you. The amount of revelation an individual has determines the level of faith in which he is free to operate. The amount of revelation or understanding an individual has determines, not the amount of information. Well, brother, I've got a master's in theology. Fantastic. Have you raised the dead? No. Okay. The amount of revelation an individual has determines the level of faith in which is free to operate. In other words, I've seen it, Lord. I know it, Lord. You move into it. John G. Lake said this, if the Holy Spirit's not moving, I move the Holy Spirit. And you think, who do you think you are? Imagine dragons, you know? Who do you think you are? He says this, God's given me gifts of healing. I know when I lay hands on the sick recover. He's given a gift. So when I'm in the meeting and people are sick, I call out those who are sick and I begin to operate in what he's given me. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. So when I start moving with that gift that he has given me, guess what? The Holy Spirit starts backing up and I start moving him. And he gets more powerful, because I freely move in the revelation he's given me and I operate at that level. Now, that's why it's so important to know what is your gift that God's given you. Because when he's given it to you, default, automatic setting, no permission, you go straight in and you can lay hands on the sick or you can prophesy or you can have a word of knowledge. Instantly, not saying, why are we waiting for the Holy Spirit, musicians, softly. No, he just operated. God's waiting for those kind of people who will permeate, infiltrate society in such a way that that gets changed. And you are, of course, not famous with a platform. You're a no-name brand. And God loves that. It's not about you. It's about him. Doesn't he not say he confirms the word you speak? So there you go. What you said, you operate on. You let the Spirit of God operate. You say, Holy Spirit, I've just said this. Okay, now we're going to trust God for that. So the level of faith you move in, you just go. We've often been taught that, no, you need to have this guy because he's anointed there and he's the only one because you've listened to his odd podcast and he sells books and he travels and all the rest of it. And you think only he can do it. No, you know, God uses amazingly people that we've listened to around the world who have quietly raised 30-odd people from the dead, but they'll never tell you. Not that that's the highest achievement, but the fact is they've done it. They've been there because you know why? They love the word. They obey the word. They love church. They get involved and they practice being willing to fail and not see the results, but continue to go on. One of the greatest fear factors is this. What if it doesn't work? You know what? It's not your problem. If you do what he tells you, it's his problem then, because you've already done that. That's why laying hands on the sick, we want instant manifestation, microwave, 5 seconds. Bing! Ah, jeez, not healed. It says you recover, it's a process. Okay, just a couple more. Yeah, I've said that faith works based on a promise. Did I say the power of God can be claimed where the will of God is known? Is it God's will to heal? Is it God's will to save? Yes. There you've got power. You can claim power for that. Say, God, that's your will. I claim your authority and power on that. When I expect that, see that happen, I claim it because that's your will. I can move. It's your willingness. It's your will. I can move in that channel. And so when you move down those tracks, you're going to get what he has because that's his will and his purpose. Amen? So faith to me is an amazing thing. It pleases God. And whenever stuff happens and it pleases God, you just know that he's got a smile and he says, my son, my daughter, wonderful. Do it again. Go deeper. Go further. Go harder. Go stronger. Come. Let me show you that. Wow, Lord, I didn't know. Yeah, next time. Share that. Next time, do that. You see, you can't keep in, well, I'm keeping it for a special day. Guess what? Dead Sea doesn't flow. Galilee does flow. Galilee has fish, Dead Sea, no fish. Just tourists floating around. I love this. Huh? Travel with us, man. It's just, you laugh at anything, man. Just free. Okay, so you can do it too. You can do it too. So let's go and untie some captives today. Not that you're in sin or anything else, but you know what? Let's just lay hands on some sick. So if you're sick, come. I know God heals. So I'm walking and moving. I don't sense an anointing right now, but I'm walking into that right now because I know that's what God does. Such as I have, I give. It's not mine. It's to be given out. So you come in faith. That's the response. Come in faith. And if you're sick and you're trusting God for healing today, in your bodies, in your souls, you personally, just come on up here right now, please. Come and receive what he has for you. Faith is built. It's time to get. Amen. Amen.